few housekeeping things as I get started is this lesson's going to be a little bit more dark, a little gloomy, a little morbid, so apologies for that. But it's also going to have a little bit of a light at the end of that gloominess as well that we'll talk about. Also appreciate Patrick reading the text for us and Jamie leading the songs for us that also kind of go along with the lesson and kind of get us in the thoughts, or at least some of the thoughts we'll be looking at this morning. I originally also had this lesson prepared for last month before I got sick, so it was pretty much ready. But then really over the course of the last month, other life events have taken place, and I've kind of changed direction a little bit on it. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. I recently turned 37. The average life expectancy is 74 in Missouri. It means I'm pretty much over half dead at this point in my life. I might not live to 70 or 60 or 50. I might be lucky to even hit 40. The point is, and the more I thought about it, the more I begin to understand that I'm reaching the end of the prime of my life and going towards the end of the point of my life in which my life begins to become a detriment, begins to grow older. I might live to be 105, or I might get into an accident on the way home this afternoon. A lesson this morning for us to think about and for everyone to think about in their own lives is how they have spent it, and how they wish to spend the remaining portion of it, and then what also might come after it. Life itself is short. If we compare the average life again in Missouri to 75 to the life of a tree or a rock, it's vastly different. Those things live for a long time. But people only live on this earth for a short time. Let's look in James chapter 4 to begin. When we compare life against eternity, life starts looking a little short. Those 74 years or less or more seem to be pretty short. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. We'll spend a year there. We will buy. We will sell. We will make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and we will do this or we will do that. Do not boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The picture we see here and is often used is that of like a vapor. If you ever boil some water on the stove, you see the vapor rise up 2 or 3 feet. It hits the top of your stove and it goes away. It lasts for mere moments. If you go outside and you breathe into the air when it's cold, you see your breath as a vapor, and a few seconds later, it's gone. You no longer see it. Last night, the girls got into the hot tub, and as they got out, the heat from them rose like a vapor. And I was like, look around you. You see that vapor. And that also made me think of this lesson. That vapor only lasts for a few seconds, and then it's absorbed into the atmosphere, and it's gone. Our life is like that. Our life is like a breath on a cold day, or boiling water on a stove. It lasts for but a few moments, and then it's gone. Psalm 90, verses 9 through 10 says, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80. Yet their boast is only labor and of sorrow. Even here the psalmist was considering life, and how we would be lucky if we would be able to reach that 70 or that 80 years. Because it passes very quickly. And place a bookmark there. If you turn there, we'll be back in a moment. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and read verses 8 through 16 there. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. You have and have no fellowship with unfaithful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Application, I think, here for us, again, is life is brief. We have to use that time wisely. We have to use each and every moment of our life in a wise way because, again, it's like a vapor. It only lasts for a few moments. We have to fill those moments with what matters most. Psalm 90 and verse 12 continues now, going back, says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We can't afford to waste our short time on this earth chasing after its earthly pleasures. We have to have wisdom. And that wisdom is using our life for what it means most. Life is short. We need to have eternity in view when we make decisions and how we live the life on this earth. Life is short. Don't waste it. Life is short. We have that pretty much covered. But then what? If we do live to 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 or beyond, one thing is still certain. Everyone that has ever lived has died. The beginning of life is life, and the end of life is death. Death itself is certain. If you walk through any cemetery, you're going to see the names of people who were rich, who were poor, who were young and who were old, who were men and who were women. Death is the great equalizer, and no one can escape it. If I were to ask and say, raise your hand of anyone who they've known who had a friend or family member who's died recently within the last few months, my guess is there would be quite a few hands show up. Recently, my first mentor and my team lead at work passed away in his sleep. He was 55 years old, likely died of heart condition or something. When he started work at the survey, he was 37, which was my age as well. So again, that kind of hit home a little bit more for me. Another coworker of mine passed away a few months ago. And I talked to him the day before he died. And he was 39, otherwise healthy, but he died of a brain aneurysm. Just looking recently, a 30-year-old Rolla man died from an accident on the 17th. A 28-year-old woman died from an ATV accident on the 19th. And then last week, I guess it's a couple weeks now, a St. James kid died with an asthma attack at age 16. Another St. James kid recently died at age 16 back in November from an accident in her vehicle. We were talking with Rusty and my dad and Steve and myself after that funeral, and Rusty was talking about on one of the results radio at one point, they were talking about all the obituaries, and there was a child who had died at 10, one at 20, one at 30, one at 40, essentially every 10 years as they gave that off, whenever that was. So lots of sadness. Because you can leave this life at any time, whether you're aged or whether you're young. So we have to understand that death is coming, whether it's sooner or later, hopefully later, but we don't have that guarantee. We have to consider our lives and our spiritual state now, when we can, and before our end comes. So let's look at a few things on death. Turn with me back in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, God here talks to Adam about death and how it came into the world. And in verse 17, he said to Adam, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded, saying, 'You shall not eat,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. But thorns and thistles will bring it for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, dust you are, and to dust you shall return." I'm going to have a multiple faceted event there where death came into the world both physically and also spiritually because of the sins that they had had. When we recall that story, we understand that now man was cursed to die. He wouldn't live. He wouldn't be able to eat of that fruit of the tree to continue living upon the earth. And because we were made of dust, our bodies will return. Romans 6:23 echoes this by saying that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, due to also sin coming into the world, we are destined then to die. Our bodies were not meant to last, and neither are any other created things upon this earth. All the animals, all the plants, and even the earth itself has been appointed a beginning and been appointed an end established by our Creator. Jesus told the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. Which we read earlier. The end of that says, he who lays up, verse 20, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and whose will these things be that you provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So even in that story, the person was building up all these great things in his life. He wasn't sharing with others. He wasn't thinking about others. He was only thinking about himself and how he could build up his own riches. And then he died. And then all of that was for nothing. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So the application for us. Death is certain. We have to prepare for eternity now. We can't delay. We can't assume tomorrow's guaranteed because it might not be. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 warns, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So we have to think about death at least a little bit. And again, pretty bummer of a lesson so far. I apologize for that, getting a little darker. But I think here's where we take our turn. Here's the good news of the story. While our bodies may die, our souls will not. Our souls were created by God as a spiritual entity to last forever, one that has no end. And due to that, we can have some hope, if we put that hope to good use. Look with me over in 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 24 and 25. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. So God has promised eternal life. And he's promised it to everyone. Depending upon how you live your life, that eternal life might look a little bit different. But because of the Son, as it says here, we have a hope of that eternal life. John 3:16 also says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to grant us this eternal life. God saw that mankind could not live up to his expectations after what happened in Genesis 3. Ephesians 1 even tells us that God knew mankind would fall before he even created us, because he gave us free will. He didn't want to make us robots to follow every command perfectly. Instead, he wanted to make us as free moral agents to choose and have a choice. And that way we could choose the correct things. We could choose to love God. And because of that, it would be more genuine, and it would mean so much more to him and so much more to us as well. So, God lets us choose. So I want us to choose how we live our life and live our life in the right way. To choose how we will spend eternity as well. Christ will judge our lives to see what life it is we chose to live and how we chose to live it and all the things therein. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 23 down through 28. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven be purified with these, and the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered the holy place every year with the blood of another, he then would have to suffer once since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Is it appointed for man to die once, but after this judgment? So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. We learn a few things from this verses. One is that we're appointed to die, and then judgment will take place. But we also see that during this, our lives are going to be laid out like an open book. We'll be judged by the great judge, Jesus Christ, and he will look over our life, all the good, all the bad, and everything in between, and we'll get to make an account for those things. But Christ, it says there, will be our mediator. He will be there to make intercession for us. So if we live for Christ, we'll have something to look forward to. Matthew 12 also says, beginning in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure, evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word that men speak, they will give account on the day of judgment, For by your words you'll be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. So our words, our actions, our lives, and everything in it will be a testament. And it should be a testament of good things. It could be a testament of good things that bring glory to God. Or it can be a thing that brings us shame and brings our Creator shame, and we'll be judged accordingly. For those that did not name Christ or did not live the life they should have, punishment will be had. But for those who win the crown of righteousness, Revelation 24 paints a much different picture. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for all the former things have passed away. So consider yourself. Consider yourself and the path you're taking in life and what your destination might be and what your answer would be when you go and you have that judgment at some point at the end of your life. And then eternity. Talked a little bit about eternity, but not really what eternity means. If you ask a kid, how long will it take for an ant to carry a grain from the Pacific Ocean over to the Atlantic Ocean, what do you think the answer might be? How long would it take for that ant to go over here, take a grain of sand, walk across, and drop it on the beach of the Pacific Ocean? Doing the math, 735 days maybe. How many of grains of sand are on the Pacific Ocean? One with a whole lot of zeros. That's how many. I'm not even going to attempt the sextillion, something like that. And then how long would it be for all of them to get moved? Well, we'd have to take 735 days times that big number times two, because the ant has to walk all the way back to go get another grain of sand empty-handed. So a whole lot of days. But that speck of all of those days is still just a speck in the sands of eternity. Heaven is going to be a long eternity, and it's going to be awesome. And hell is going to be a long eternity, and it will not be so awesome. Heaven or hell, eternal joy or eternal separation. Again, the choice is ours, and the time to choose is now. The time to choose is this morning for yourself. I hope you choose not to live this life like a vapor, but instead to choose to live the life for eternity. The right life and the just life, giving glory to Christ and obedience to Him. So something for us to think about this morning. If you've not yet surrendered your short life to Christ, we all hope you do. Come forward and receive the gift of eternal life by having obedience towards Him, with Christ and His great sacrifice. Or if you are a Christian and you haven't been living the right life, haven't been having the right perspective in your own life, then hopefully this brings that perspective back into view. Either way, if you have a need in prayers or in salvation or anything in between, let us know as we stand and as we sing.